All right, nice to have you back with us. Giants have announced that Aaron Sanchez is on the injured list. Kevin Gausman is now back on the active list, and of course he's going to pitch today. The lineup, Talkman, Yaz, Flores is back. The MRI was clean. Belt, Longoria, Crawford, Duggar, Casale, and Gausman against the tough right-hander Joe Musgrove. A pleasure to bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark, how are you today?
I'm good. I'm coming off a night where I watched a 3-hour, 45-minute Met game and then a 3-hour, 45-minute Giants game.
I know. It amazes me when you tweet something at like 11 o'clock Pacific. I say, what is the guy doing up? But you do it.
I stuck it out last night because it was a weekend. I figured, why not?
All right. Well, the Giants are still the major story, I think, of the National League, even though the Cardinals are kind of creeping up on everybody just a little bit, and the Phillies are winning. But it's the Giants and the hitting and the pitching, and I love your analysis of it. Let's take a look at the hitters first. What are they doing that's sort of on the plus side?
Okay, so we know that they're not hitting, but they are creating opportunities for themselves by following the pattern of the Dodgers and the Padres to an extent in that their hitters aren't chasing. And this, I think, is specific. We know that Brandon Belt doesn't chase for the most part. He stays within the area that he likes to swing. Longoria has kind of taken it upon himself to do something similar, and he has limited his, I guess, chases, and he's essentially trying to crush the pitch that's in his happy spot. Buster does this to an extent too, but the guy that it's really worked for this year has been Longoria. That's why his numbers have been so good. So they're not hitting, but they're taking what they should take. That leads to base runners, which inevitably, eventually, leads to runs.
Well, Longoria is something because they pitch him away. They still shift him on the left side, and he has gotten a number of hits through the hole on the right side and into right center field. They did it last night.
Yeah, and that started, if you remember right, that started like the first two games of the season with the balls that he was driving the other way. And it seems like, all right, for 30-ish games, he's doing that. Doing that for 160 at age 35, that's going to be hard. If he can do it, all the power to him.
Buster Posey is having an MVP-type season, and I realize they're only 32 games into the season. But, Mark, he is doing things that he never did as a hitter. And he looks youthful. He's trying to stretch singles into doubles. And he is the catalyst of this ball club. Incredible. Do you see anything different in him?
I think I said this once before, that he just looks very relaxed. It looks like it's all very easy to him right now. And I would imagine maybe this happens in the future. Teams think about this, that a euro for a catcher is a pretty good thing. Because your legs take a beating, your knees take a beating. Obviously, you get pelted by foul balls. To get a year off and to be able to come back fresh, if you have the skill set of someone like Posey who can hit, and we know who can hit from his past, the year off. I'm not advocating necessarily years off for player, but it paid off, I think, significantly for him. And again, same question: does it last the whole year? Right now, it's lasting.
Well, it's the best of his career right now.
Yep.
And for over the last seven games, he's something like 14 for 26 or something like that. Amazing. Well, the starting staff has been good. And better than good, it's been excellent compared to all the other starting staffs in baseball. And Joe Sheehan was on with us last week, and Joe does a great newsletter. And he put something out this week about the Giants and about the Giants starting pitching and pitching in general, and how the contact they're getting really has been amazing because it reflects upon the ability of the defense to do their job. So can you connect those two?
Yeah, sure. So he's good on this. He's excellent at analyses like this. Basically, what he was saying was that the guys in the field, particularly the outfielders in what's a fairly spacious outfield, are having an easy time of it because their pitchers don't allow hard hit fly balls. So they can just kind of cruise to balls. The most challenging balls that they're dealing with are the ones like the one that Yaz made the catch on yesterday. He made a running catch on one that Kuiper screamed at. That was a particularly good play, but it wasn't like he had to lay out or jump or anything like that. It was just a running catch. So the Giants are the best team in the National League at limiting hard contact. And as a result, they're getting these soft pop-ups, soft fly balls, medium hit fly balls, and they're handling them well. And I will add this for Gausman in particular, when there has been hard contact against Gausman, he's been lucky. There's been a lot of, I guess you would call atom balls with him. He has limited damage on hard hit balls so far, more than you would expect for a pitcher.
Boy, these two pitchers today, the two right-handers, if you're a right-handed hitter, you may want to take the day off. It's unbelievable, the numbers. I think it was 15 for like 115, something like that.
I think it was like 050 for Musgrove or something crazy. Yeah. So they both have that pitch that can just bury you and that can make you look really bad. In Gausman's case, it's the splitter. In Musgrove's case, it's the slider. And even though Musgrove got bombed in the last start, the slider was an effective pitch for him overall. I will come back to something on Gausman besides the hard hit stuff. If you were going to rank pitches in terms of like what's the most effective pitch, we talked about the splitter before being the best pitch in baseball. If you took like the top dozen pitches in baseball this year, and that incorporates guys like DeGrom and Darvish and all those guys, he's in like the top 12 for two pitches. He's in the top 12 for his splitter, and he's been in the top 12 for his fastball. And the velo's fluctuated on that. But when he's revved it up, that's been a pretty good pitch for him, too, when he can get it up to 96, 97.
What do you think of Wade Miley and the fifth no-hitter? I'll count Bumgarner. So the fifth no-hitter of the season, Cleveland's been no-hit twice already. Wade Miley, boy, he gets the ball and he throws the ball. It's like a Tom Browning used to do for the Cincinnati Reds. But his control was impeccable where he put the ball, and he got a no-hitter last night. How about that?
Yeah. So he's another beneficiary of defense. So yesterday he got 15 ground balls. There was the error on one. All the others were turned into outs. For the season, he's gotten 60 ground balls, and there have only been six base runners on those 60 balls. And I will tell you that 6 out of 60 is ridiculous. That's not supposed to happen. That number should be 13, 14, 15. His number is 6. So the Reds defense has been playing well behind him. I would guess that they're well positioned for when balls are hit against him. He doesn't overpower guys, so they're probably ready for it. And that's been his kind of modus operandi this season.
Why are we getting numbers like this throughout baseball? Is it the velocity? Is it the defense? Is it the shift? What is it? Because it's unbelievable. Every night, Frankie Montas had a perfect game going to the seventh inning last night.
Yeah, it's really, I think it really comes down to fastball velocity. We were looking at this a couple of days ago. We made a graph just to see what it looked like in terms of average fastball velocity over the last 10 years compared to, we looked at different pitches and effectiveness of pitches, and the fastball graph got really steep. Like the last 4 or 5 years, guys are really able to throw harder, guys like the DeGroms of the world. And then they've got that one pitch that just wipes guys out. It's frustrating. Like I want my no hitters to be special. The no hitters are seeming to, if they're 15 this year, no hitters are a lot less special.
John Means had close to a perfect game. He lost it on a strikeout wild pitch. He's pitched a million innings as a professional. He's never had that happen before, but it happened in the game where he pitches a no-hitter. Now, this is a guy with a changeup that just disappears.
Yeah, the changeup is on the list of the pitches with Gausman for best in baseball. He's been fantastic this season as well. The list of guys who have been fantastic, it's like we need to set a new standard for fantastic, because if we use the old standard, we got like 60 guys that you could say that about. And he's certainly been one of them. But the changeup, as you said, has been the key to it. The thing I liked about that one was that you could really tell how much it meant to him to do it, just from the reaction, the stuff that he talked about after the game, the loss of his father, and that it just seemed like it's something that 50 years from now he will still be talking about.
Boy, great baseball stories. Great. Mark Simon with us. Mark, I always like to turn you back to the Mets a little bit because I know it's your team. Chili Davis, one of the Giants' favorites for so many years, got fired as the Mets hitting coach. What was behind that?
I think there was a disconnect there between the front office and the coaching staff and the expectation for what a hitting coach does now on a individual level. If you read Joel Sherman of the New York Post did an accounting of this, that there was a lack of the kinds of plans that hitting coaches nowadays put in place for individual hitters with regards to showing them how they can improve, essentially embracing some of the newer stuff, like the newer metrics, and understanding how they work and how they can be used to improve a hitter. Chili Davis was more old school in his approach with that. So they brought in Hugh Quattlebaum, who is kind of one of the early pioneers, if I remember right, in embracing the statistics as they relate to teaching hitting specifically.
Well, the Mets had a crazy incident last night. Lindor finally hit a big home run, and he and McNeil got into it, and the argument was, according to Lindor, was it a raccoon or a rat? What were they looking at in the tunnel when everybody ran down there?
So there's no speculation here, but I think it was pretty clear that what happened was there was a ball that was hit on which they kind of came together, and it didn't work out. They didn't make the play. I think it was pretty clearly about that. No one has said that, but there isn't anything else that you would have seen in last night's game that would have made sense. And the thing about Jeff McNeil, who's a really good, pure hitter, Daniel Murphy type, ideally a 315 homer guy, is that he has a little bit of a fiery streak to him, I think, kind of in his head. And I could see him simmering. I could see a scenario where he simmered a little bit too much, and that's the result of coming together with a player who was in a slump, who finally got out of a slump by hitting a home run last night.
That's baseball. Mark, always a pleasure. We'll chat with you next week. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. Thanks, Mark. Thanks as always.
Sure.
All right. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Bill and Kerry are going to talk with Adam Copeland. Then Kerry is going to do the talk back today. And, of course, Bill has got extra innings. He's got a great show for you tonight. So more coming up right here in the Sports Leader.